Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. Three triangles of gray light overlap in a W over a black background. The Weinstein Company, TV. Hands pass over a chain link by link. The man holding the chain sits in a dim room. Streaks of white light shine down on either side of him. A title appears. Wudang Temple, South China, 1262. The man is Hundred Eyes. His eyes closed. He continues to feel the chain as another man enters.
Li Jingbao, Mongols.
His eyes open.
They have already destroyed the temple at North Peak.
Where are the nuns?
In the cloisters, east. Remember the oath. We fight to the end.
Life and death are one thread. I will guard the scrolls.
Hundred Eyes frowns as the other man leaves. Alone again, Hundred Eyes' face hardens, his eyes staring out, and he rises to his feet. He coils the chain, which has a red tassel at one end, around his hand in three loose loops, then strokes the arrowhead-shaped blade at its other end. He throws the rope dart's blade onto the coils of metal and strides to the door. From a distance, men can be seen approaching the temple, which sits on a green mountaintop. Now, the advancing Mongols run up the temple's stairs, smashing an idol on the porch, mere yards away from where Hundred Eyes stands, watching them, a sword by his side. A Mongol attacks, and he bats him away, lunging at another soldier before kicking off the temple's wall and slicing into a third. He kills the second Mongol, then plunges his sword into another. He pushes off the fourth soldier, leaping into the air, and pulls a warrior off his horse with the rope dart. Soldiers surround him, and he swings the rope dart overhead, killing several of them. He kicks away more warriors, lassos one's leg, then grabs another. He spins the soldier, using him as a human shield, as another Mongol swipes at him with his sword. Hundred Eyes holds the rope taut above his head. A Mongol's blade hacks through it. The monk kicks the soldier back and then breaks his arm. An archer falls, and the monk stares wide-eyed at a woman standing on the temple's wall.
Li Jingbao!
Mongols wrestle a distracted Hundred Eyes to his knees.
Do not kill him! The Khan will want this one.
Hundred Eyes grimaces and kicks one of his captor's shins. The others push their blades toward his throat. A black screen then lightens into an inky landscape. Titles appear over it. Marco Polo, 100 Eyes. Now, 100 Eyes is escorted through Kublai Khan's throne room, flanked by a phalanx of guards, his feet and hands shackled. The procession stops before the Khan's throne, where Kublai studies the monk.
What kind of monk is able to kill by himself 25 Mongol soldiers? Is it a form of dark magic practiced at your temple?
You never know, shall you?
What did you just say, monk?
You destroyed a temple and all of the ancient scrolls that contain the answers you seek.
You monks were offering shelter to my enemies in South China. No place defies the Khan. I will ask you again. If you hold your tongue, I will take your tongue. What is this fighting art kept secret in a mountain temple?
The art of peace.
You break the necks of trained soldiers, cut their throats, cut them like wild pigs. You call it peace?
You destroy a temple and call it destiny.
Kings of the past would not have shown you grace. Me? When I make war on the city, I allow the craftsmen to live. I conscript them into service, and they live here. You will reveal these Chinese secrets to my war ministers.
Reveal Chinese secrets to fight the Chinese.
The monk's glaring eyes meet Kublai's.
Prove yourself useful, you can live. Defy my laws. You'll die a death far worse than that suffered by the monks who perished with your scrolls. Oh, you find humor in my decree?
There is only one supreme executioner. And those who try to take his place are like children trying to carve wood as a master carpenter. Most will injure their own hands.
You do not fear death?
I do not cling to life. There is a difference.
Remove him.
A guard spins Hundred Eyes around and pushes him away from Kublai, who stares after him. In a dungeon, a soldier faces Hundred Eyes, a large man behind him.
This wrestler is named Blackstep Boar, a prisoner captured in Scythia. Do you know why he is named after the boar?
His resemblance is extraordinary.
He is called Boar because he has killed such without a weapon many times. Boar will advance. He will seize you. You will demonstrate how to break the grasp.
The soldier cocks his head, and a guard steps forward, blindfolding Hundred Eyes.
You cover my eyes. Is that just?
The Great Khan wants a report on how you fight blindfolded.
He is a most capricious fool. And if you were not cowards, you would tell him the same.
Quiet, monk!
The soldier tilts his head toward the large man, Boar, who trundles behind the monk, throws his arm around his shoulders, and lifts him. The soldier watches unblinkingly as Hundred Eyes tightens his lips and scrunches his neck down. Meanwhile, a line of guards stands outside. The guards stand completely still. The guard in the center turns around to the heavy bolted door behind him and examines the latch. Light pours into the dungeon as the guard pulls the door open. He pauses at the threshold before marching down the entry ramp. As he reaches the mouth of the dungeon, he stops, looking around the room. It is littered with the bodies of the soldier, guards, and Boar. Later, on a field overlooking Kublai's Imperial City, Hundred Eyes jogs along a cart path, his robe dancing at his feet and hair bouncing off his shoulders. A single man on horseback crests a hill behind him, then is joined by 10 others. Hundred Eyes stops and slowly turns to face the approaching cavalry. His nose and bottom lip are cut, and scratches adorn his right cheek. The lead horseman reaches Hundred Eyes and stops as the other soldiers surround the monk, training their weapons on him. He glances to his side, then pivots and sits. Blinking, he plucks a piece of grass from the ground and sticks it between his lips with a resigned look. Now, he stands before Kublai in the throne room.
The general you killed was the son of Subutai. You know that name, monk?
I do not.
Greatest military commander ever to serve Genghis Khan. You slayed his son. This is a crime beyond crimes.
Two archers aim at Hundred Eyes.
Yet, you do not cling to life, as you say. Death means nothing.
He paces toward the monk.
What is a Khan to do?
The archers lower their weapons as Kublai nears the prisoner with a steely glare.
A merchant once gifted me a white crane from Lesser Armenia. A water bird that was most uncommon because it had been born all black. Black-white crane.
He slowly circles Hundred Eyes.
I knew it was no specious being that would bring me fortune, but that black-white crane refused to stare my lake. Always it would fly away. Just this natural calling, you see. So, I served him and my fortune. A cutting one wing.
Later, the chained monk kneels.
By law of the Grand Khan, Lord of Lords.
Why do you think I had you fight blindfolded? Because I'm a capricious fool? To see if you're capable of your direst secrets and skills while in the dark.
So be it.
Because I knew the moment you were presented, you would not be like the obedient painter, the resigned astrologer, the noble poet attended with wine. You would refuse to serve the Mongol Empire.
In front of the bound Hundred Eyes, a black cobra is lifted from a basket with a hook.
To this day, that black-white crane remains on my leg. He is mine, and he is beloved.
The snake's handler directs the cobra to the monk's face, and it spits a spray of venom into his eyes.
No!
In the dim throne room, Kublai sits on the edge of the dais, his eyes closed and his face impassive, as light from the torches flickers around him. The screen cuts to black. Later, in the dark. The monk stares down at the floor, his eyelids blistered and red. With a deep breath, he straightens slightly. He gently lays a hand on the stone wall of the dungeon and glides his long fingers across it as he moves slowly forward. He reaches a corner and feels his way up the entry ramp, keeping his hands below the torches burning in sconces on the wall. At the top of the ramp, his fingers search the floor of the threshold, eventually finding a bowl of white rice. He picks up the bowl and smells it, before pinching out a glob of rice and shoveling it into his mouth. He stuffs more rice into his mouth, before grimacing and throwing the bowl down the ramp. It hits the wall, sending white grains flying into the air. He collapses, shuddering as he sits cross-legged on the threshold. The scene fades to black. The next day, rain pours off the roof outside the dungeon, while inside, the monk meditates at the threshold. His mouth opens slightly as he breathes in deeply, his scarred eyes open and directed forward. Later, Hundred Eyes stands before a shackle dangling from the ceiling. With his eyes closed, he pushes his hands away from him, then toward him in a ritualistic manner. He turns to the side, then spins and punches, his fist falling short of the shackle. As seen through the hole in the shackle, he touches it, sending it swaying, then lets his head hang. Now Hundred Eyes begins the movements anew, pushing his hands down as he squats slightly, then hugs the air in front of him. He thrusts his hands out, unleashing a series of kicks. He stumbles. As he hits the wall of the dungeon, he finds a broom leaning against it. He discards the broom's bristles and uses its handle like a bow staff, swiping at invisible enemies as he moves through the space. He throws the staff up in a spin and reaches for it as it falls, but catches only air. Later, the rain outside the dungeon slows until the last drop falls into a puddle that reflects a tree full of golden leaves. Inside, Hundred Eyes picks up one of the wet, dead leaves that has fallen onto his floor. Bringing it to his nose, he inhales deeply, a crease forming between his eyes. Now, snow falls over the Imperial City. Specks of snow drift through the dungeon as Hundred Eyes brings his arms in front of his chest, then pushes them down. With a flick of his arms, he pulls them up again. He thrusts his hands out, twirling, then pulls in again with dance-like movements before launching into a spinning kick. He grabs the makeshift bow staff and tosses it. He jump kicks as it spins in slow motion above him, then catches it and whacks the shackle clean off its chain. He comes into focus. The skin around his eyes has healed. Now, Hundred Eyes sits across from Kublai in the Khan's quarters, the chessboard between them.
Are you now ready to teach my ministers of warfare? Tea for the monk.
A servant approaches with a teapot.
Do not confuse me with one of your holy Buddhists. Wine.
Kublai nods, and the servant pours wine from a pitcher into a gold cup beside the monk. The Khan scrutinizes Hundred Eyes as he brings the cup to his lips and tilts it back, downing its contents.
You were punished for killing the son of Subutai. Never forget that.
I shall not. The monks of Wudang spend their lives trying to achieve true emptiness. For only when the sage can overcome the self does he enter into the Tao. That is a dark mystery beyond all mysteries, and a gift you gave to me. Blind? I now see the world with 100 eyes.
He slides his hand along the edge of the chessboard, then moves a game piece, extracting the one beside it. Kublai frowns at the board, then at Hundred Eyes.
Give him more wine.
The servant shuffles forward and splashes more wine into the monk's cup, then bows away. Kublai turns his attention back to the chessboard and reaches for a piece.
I've just captured your horse.
He holds up a piece.
I know.
And know this. There are 4 Taoist temples still standing in the Wudang Mountains. My men will go there in a fortnight and burn them to the ground. At my single command, your religion can be wiped off the face of this earth. Or we can live, grow, thrive, if you prove its value to me.
By training your ministers.
And someone else.
The next day, Hundred Eyes sits in the dungeon, facing away from the entrance, his hair tied in a bun with a chopstick. 4 guards trundle down the ramp behind him. As the first 2 peel off, a boy appears behind the monk.
You must be the prince.
I am called Altai.
Why are you here?
Lessons.
And what do you intend to teach me in these lessons?
I am here to teach you that even the son of a royal Khan is capable of humility and learning.
Then take the broom, Altai, and sweep my floor.
The boy, Altai, looks at the broom but doesn't move. Smirking, the monk stands.
Good answer. If only you believed it.
Hundred Eyes steps to Altai and raises his hand toward the boy's face. As he does, the guards all train their loaded bows on him. He feels the boy's face.
You are a little nomad weed in the garden of the world. They wish you to grow into a flowering tree.
He drops his hand, and the guards lower their weapons.
What is the most important part of such a tree?
The many branches and the flowering. I speak of legacy.
Thank you for untangling your elusive metaphor.
He sweeps Altai's feet out from under him as he swiftly turns away.
We begin with roots.
Later, still in the dungeon, Altai moves his hands up and down, much like Hundred Eyes has, and turns, punching the air and whipping his arms. Hundred Eyes paces behind his pupil as he repeats his combinations, punching and kicking the space in front of him. Now, Altai stands with his feet wide apart and knees bent, his fists resting on his hips. The monk again sweeps his feet from under him. Altai stands once again in his horse stance, his knees less bent this time, as Hundred Eyes paints on the wall in front of him. The boy lifts up a bit. Altai deepens his squat.
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
Altai lifts and sinks again.
If you wish calligraphy on your wall, why not summon a painter who can see?
Can you not read the character I made?
It is a symbol for fire.
Then what is wrong?
It's upside down.
Precisely. This is the Kung Fu character for patience, control. Remember this in the future, always. Never give way to anger.
Sifu?
Have I not trained you into exhausted silence yet? Today's lesson is done. My Radiant Highness.
The prince stands and bows. The two guards behind him turn, leading him up the ramp, as Hundred Eyes smiles and turns back to the wall, finishing the red character. In a view from the ceiling, sunlight splashes into a dojo through its multitude of windows, as Kublai leads the prince and monk inside. Inspecting the space, Kublai makes his way to the center of the brick floor and turns to Hundred Eyes.
You cannot see it, I know, but I assure you it has been overseen by a great Chinese architect. Made from the most precious of woods and hides. And
Kublai frowns as something catches his eye.
Imbecile. Someone has painted the character of fire upside down.
I did.
The monk smirks as Kublai turns from the marred pillar to his son.
Huh? On this day of the new year, I ordain this place the Hall of the Fourth Treasure. I name you Hundred Eyes. Minister of Martial Affairs. And so, I ask of you, as a Wudang priest, give my son his Chinese name.
Kublai holds Altai's shoulders.
There have been 500 over time who have held the name Emperor of all China, Son of Heaven. Ordained by blood, there are those who would have been better suited to harvest cow dung than to rule the greatest empire on earth. There are those who were as silver, a lesser metal but worthy of coinage. And then there are those, like cold stone, who force their strength and fury and win the title by fear and intimidation. Blood is nothing. Heart and spirit make the sage.
He squeezes the boy's shoulder.
And by this, I give this boy the name Jingam. True gold.
Altai, Jingam, smiles and turns to face his father.
So be it. He will walk out of here with this name and carry it as his own into a tomorrow only the oracles can see.
Kublai steps toward the exit, then turns back and leans over to Hundred Eyes.
As for you, priest, this temple is yours.
Kublai lumbers out. Jingam watches his father's disappearing form for a moment before bowing to the monk and following the Khan. Hundred Eyes returns the bow, then turns, his head pivoting as if inspecting the space. He crosses his arms behind his back as the dojo spins around him in a bird's eye view. The screen cuts to black. Words appear over an inky landscape of the Khan's Empire, Season 2, Marco Polo, Summer, 2016. Directed by Alex Sakharov. Written by John Fusco, created by John Fusco. Netflix and the Weinstein Company present a Netflix original series. Benedict Wong, Tom Wu, and Michelle Yeoh. Executive producer Daniel Minahan. Executive producer Elizabeth Sarnoff. Executive producers John Fusco, Harvey Weinstein. Executive producers Peter Friedlander, Bob Weinstein, Patrick McManus. Executive producers Joachim Roning, Espen Sandberg. Executive producers Ben Silverman, Chris Grant. Producers Richard Sharkey, Colin Creighton. Consulting producer Kate Barno. All scenes in which animals appear were strictly supervised, with utmost concern for their handling. This motion picture is based in part upon actual events, persons, and companies. However, numerous of the characters, incidents, and companies portrayed, and the names used herein, are fictitious. Any similarity of those fictitious characters, incidents, or companies to the name, attributes, or actual backgrounds of any actual person, living or dead, or to any actual event, or to any existing company, is entirely coincidental and unintentional. This motion picture is protected under laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Copyright 2015, Marco Polo TWC LLC, all rights reserved. Three triangles of gray light overlap in a W over a black background, the Weinstein Company TV. Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix,